Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being with me. You know, as we gather together and we worship each and every Sunday, there's a number of different things that we're accomplishing in the process of worshiping. One of the things that we're always trying to accomplish is learning, because there's always something new to learn, always something new to understand. God's kingdom is always bringing us fresh information, fresh learning, fresh wisdom. And as a clergy person, I spend a lot of time studying. I spend a lot of time finding new ways to understand God's word. God's word doesn't change, but my perception and understanding of it certainly can grow. Hopefully, yours does too. One of the ways that throughout my life I've done this is by learning from people who are already further down the road than I am. A great way, before coronavirus, to do that was for me to go to conferences. There at a conference, I would have the opportunity to interact with and to learn from people who are further down the road than I am. Experts, people of great, deep personal faith, and individuals who have done really marvelous things in the life of their congregations. I was at a conference in Dallas, Texas. This was a good number of years ago. Wow. 15 years ago. And while I was there, one of our speakers that we had the opportunity to go and do small groups with was a fellow by the name of Francis Chan. Francis has since then written a couple of best-selling Christian books. He built this incredibly enormous mega church. And so at the time, he was considered to be one of the rising stars in the Christian movement that deals with young adults and young ministry. We were all very excited to learn from him. I'm very excited to hear what he had to say. And we were in the small group. And as we were doing the things that you do in small group, he said, well, does anyone have any questions? And of course, we all had a great many questions. And so somebody said to him, you know, we really want to be able to replicate your success. We really want to be able to replicate what you've done with your church, growing it from a small church to a mega church. So could you help us by walking us through your methodology? What is your ministry methodology? Is there a structure that you work from? Is there a leadership pattern that you would encourage us to use? Is there a technique that you find that's more effective than others? And Francis said, absolutely. Let me walk you through my leadership and ministry technique. He says, I get to our sanctuary every morning as early as I can, and I go into the main sanctuary. I sit down in the main sanctuary, and I pray. And while I'm praying that God gives me wisdom and insight. I pray about individual instances within our congregation that I sort of feel, you know, need some special attention from God, that God has called me to give special attention to. He says, and then I say to God, God, what is it that you want me to do with the congregation? What is it you're calling me to do? What ministry do you need me to accomplish? What is it that you want to place on my heart for today that I'm going to go and do? He says, and then I sit there, and I sit in the silence, and I wait, and I listen, and I see what it is that I really and truly feel like God is speaking to me in that moment. And when I really have a good feel for what I am discerning that God wants me to do, he says, I go and I run that past some spiritual brothers and sisters that I trust their insight. And I say, what do you think? This is sort of on my heart for today. And a lot of the time they say, oh, yeah, absolutely, I could see that. Sometimes they say, well, I don't know that sounds like that's exactly a direction for your ministry. Are you sure that's what God's saying? And then I reexamine it. And that's what I do with my day. He says, there's no system beyond that. Well, the guy that asked the initial question, he says, well, what if you just sit there? What if you just sit there, and you sit there, and you sit there, and when you've sat there for so long, you don't think you can sit there any longer, nothing happens. God doesn't say anything. God has nothing to put on your heart for this day. He has no instructions. He has no directions. He doesn't give you a nudge this direction or that direction. Well, what do you do with your day then? Francis paused for a moment and said, let me think. I like to go golfing. That was his answer. I like to go golfing. His point was, of all of the things he could do as a leader, of all of the things he could do as an administrator, of all of the things he could do as a senior pastor of this mega church, the one thing and the only thing that he really sets out to do on any given day is serve God. And if God does not have something that he has placed on Francis's heart to do, then Francis feels like it's not his role to invent things for his community to do. But then when God places things on his heart, then it is of absolute essential priority that he go and do them. I don't think Francis Chan spends a lot of time golfing. I think God has kept his ministry very busy. I think God has kept his ministry in motion. I think Francis's books that he's written since then certainly have demonstrated that God has a lot to say through Francis. But you know what? God has a lot to say through you and me. God has a lot of ministry that he wants you and I to do. And the principle that Francis Chan held up, that you pray, you ask God for his help and guidance and direction, and that at the end of the day, that's your focus and goal, that's a very Lutheran thing. Martin Luther was rather famously a prayer. And he was speaking to some of his students one day, and they asked him the exact same question that the person that I was in a small group with asked Francis Chan. They said, Dr. Luther, how do you order your day? What is it that you do on a daily basis that makes it possible for you to do the great things you've done? And Martin Luther says, well, I get up every morning and I go to the sanctuary and I pray for 3 hours. His student said, Dr. Luther, how do you get anything done if you spend 3 hours a day in prayer? Luther said, how would I get anything done if I didn't? And as much as we, mere mortals, need to spend that personal time interacting with God, listening to God, speaking to God, communicating with God, even Jesus felt the same. In the gospel lesson we have today, Jesus' ministry, it's reaching megachurch status. People are coming from all over the countryside to experience his presence, to experience his miracles, to experience his healing, and he is popular. We know that crowds are coming out to see him. So what does Jesus do? He gets up early in the morning and he goes away to a lonely place. He liked to go away to lonely places where people couldn't find him to spend time praying and talking to God the Father. So Jesus has gone off and he's praying and he's speaking to God the Father by himself for a long time. And his disciples come and they're like, Jesus, where have you been? The crowds are waiting for you. Your mega church has arrived. Let's go and be popular. And Jesus says, I have a better idea. Let's take this very successful ministry that we've built here and walk away from it. You can imagine the disciples were a little confused. What do you mean walk away from it? All of these people are coming out to you. All of these people are excited to experience your miracles. Jesus is like, yes, but I have other people I need to speak to. I've spoken to my Father in heaven, and he has a greater ministry in mind for me. He wants me to go to all of the villages and proclaim the message that I've been sent to proclaim. See, Jesus wasn't worried about earthly success. He could have stayed right there where he was and had the masses come out to him and been enormously popular. And in fact, if you follow Jesus's Galilean ministry, Even though he goes from village to village, soon the crowds begin to follow him around. And he gets this incredible crowd of thousands of people following him everywhere he goes. You might think that was success. But we know that Jesus eventually sends all those people away. Because that wasn't why he was there. He wasn't there to be popular. He wasn't there to have masses of adoring fans. He was there to speak God's word and ultimately to purchase for all of humanity on the cross the gift of forgiveness, renewal, and life abundant and life everlasting. The crowds couldn't help with that goal. Jesus was here to do something deep, not something popular. He was here to do the will of the Father, not the will of the crowds. We forget this sometimes, and we get busy. We human beings are busy creatures. We have so many things that we think we have to do, so many things that we think are important, so many things that we get focused on. Every so often, we need to be reminded that Jesus stopped. He stopped frequently in the middle of what everybody around him thought was important, and he reevaluated what he was doing based on the single question of, what does my Father in heaven want of me? And when that had been determined, then he went on and did what the Father wanted him to do. When it was popular, when it was unpopular, when thousands followed him, when he had a hard time keeping 12 following him, he did what the Father called him to do. So I say to you all, don't be afraid to stop. Don't be afraid to pause. Don't be afraid to reevaluate, to look at your life and say, okay, am I doing what the Father wants me to do, or am I just doing what I think I should be doing? Don't be afraid to take time in the lonely spaces, the quiet places, alone with God, and say, okay, do I need to reinvent myself? Well, of course, the answer is going to be no, because we're not in charge of that kind of decision-making process. Our Father in heaven is. But we might ask, does God have a different vision for my life than the one that I have for it? We may feel like failures if we discover that God's vision for our life is different than ours. But that's not failure, that's growth. Growth is when we recognize that God is opening paths for us that are new. Jesus' ministry started one way and went a very drastic and decidedly different way. Why? Because he paused, he spoke with the Father, and he obeyed the Father. We can do the same thing. So I say to you all this week, pause, pray, consider, listen for the voice of God. Find out where God is calling us to go, what God is calling us to do. Maybe God doesn't have something for you at the moment. Go golf. Well, maybe not in this weather. Go ski. But you know what? The important thing to remember is that God had a plan for Jesus' life. God has a plan for our life. God has a plan for Francis Chan's life. Remember that God's plan is always at work in us. So pause, listen, and obey. Amen.